1866, or who had descendants who had voted, would be allowed to vote. The Supreme Court declared this grandfather clause unconstitutional in 1915. However, educated Southern blacks were still denied their right to vote based on voting tests designed to quickly fail anyone, even with a minor technicality. And then there were those who feared retaliations at their places of employment, resulting in many voters staying away from the polls. Our country has come a long way since those discouraging days. And yet, still today, people do not exercise their right to vote because of indifference or due to a lack of knowledge regarding the past struggle to obtain this precious right. You can change that by going to the polls on November 6th and declaring that I will not make a mockery of those who fought for the freedoms we enjoy today.
One voice, one vote. Central Louisiana Coalition is a proud underwriting sponsor of Eyes Open.
Good morning. This is Brenda Stone Browder, author of the book On the Up and Up, a survival guide for women living with men on the down low. And you are listening to Eyes Open with Tony Brown.
This is Bernie Pinsonet with Southern Meeting Opinion Research. You're listening to Eyes Open with Tony Brown.
Eyes Open with Tony Brown and a hot cup of coffee, an informative and positive way to start your day.
Hi, this is Attorney C. Rodney Harrington, and I have an important message for all businesses, churches, and nonprofit organizations in this area. I want to invite you to join me for a free informational seminar in Alexandria on Saturday, October 13th at 10 a.m., where we'll be providing information concerning the BP oil spill of 2010 and how BP has agreed in a proposed settlement to pay damages to businesses, churches, and organizations in this area for decreased revenue during 2010. We'll be providing information at the seminar to determine whether or not your business, church, or organization may have a claim. There is no cost or obligation for attendance at the seminar. It is for informational purposes only. So please join me, Rodney Harrington, Saturday, October 13th at 10 a.m. at the Inn at MacArthur, formerly the Guest House Inn on 2211 MacArthur Drive in Alexandria, for the BP Oil Spill Settlement Informational Seminar. For further information, call 1-800-638-1649. That's 1-800-638-1649. Sponsored by C. Rodney Harrington and Associates, Attorneys at Law.
C. Rodney Harrington is a proud underwriting sponsor of Eyes Open with Tony Brown.
Are you ready?
You better get ready.
For the LeCount Pie Festival, a family-oriented festival.
Get set.
For everyone on the grounds of the old LeCount High School.
Oh, yeah.
Friday and Saturday, October 5th and 6th. Food, crafts, entertainment, and pies.
Pies.
Everywhere. LeCountPieFestival.com's got your info. LeCount, the pie capital of Louisiana.
Welcome y'all to the festival, man. We sure appreciate it. Thank you so much. Y'all make some noise.
With plenty of entertainment Saturday, October 6th, hosted by DJ Train. The parade's at 9 o'clock. Plenty of music starting at 11 with a live band at 7 and fireworks at 8:45. Then Brad Randell and the Sonic Co Ballers take the stage at 9. On the Miller Lite soundstage. And the carnival's back. Of course, you don't want to miss the pie eating contest Saturday at 1 o'clock. You got to eat as many pies as possible in 5 minutes. LeCountPieFestival.com. Friday and Saturday, October 5th and 6th, food, crafts, entertainment at the Pie Festival.
LeCount Pie Festival is a proud underwriting sponsor of Eyes Open with Tony Brown.
We better talk over first there, CJ. We're going to talk over. I know you're not used to the format. I want to share some stories out there and get that on standby. Let me see here. You know, Christie predicts Romney debate performance will change course a presidential race. Come on now. President Barack Obama went to Harvard. He was the head of the Law Harvard Review, finished at the top of his law class. That's all they do is debate at Harvard. You know, who gonna get the fish stick at the cafeteria counter? You know, they eat, breathe, sleep debate in that college setting. So I don't think it's gonna happen, CJ. I say forget the debate. Let me get Barack Obama in the ring with Romney. just for one round, who y'all think would win?
You know who would win. I say this. Mm-hmm. Seems like Obama don't have to say nothing. Just let Romney just
implode.
Just let him open his mouth.
Yeah, man. He's and something else is going to happen. And that's exactly what happened. You know, when he made that, what was that, 47%?
47%.
Yeah. Of y'all. Of you people. What was it, like you people?
Obama's leading in Iowa and Ohio.
Yeah, in the battleground states. And those were the states that were on the fence. You know,
Iowa?
Those are the ones that you have to... On the fence for, yeah.
You got to work hard for Iowa, Doc.
Yeah. Iowa.
Iowa?
Iowa. Wow. Wow. I tell you what, and this is an old school question. I want to give away to the Pie Festival since you brought up Iowa. There was a series in the 70s. It was one of the longest running series up until Seinfeld. One of the characters in the series is the name that I'm looking for. He was from Iowa. The name of the series was called MASH. There was a character in the series of MASH that was from Iowa. If you could hit that off, CJ. If you can tell me the name of that character in MASH that was from Iowa, what his character name was, I'm going to send you and a friend to the LeCount Pie Festival. 1-877-464-2500 on this terrific Tuesday. Yeah, we're going extended time for Eyes Open all the way to the 8 o'clock hour. Phone lines are open at 1-877-464-2500. 1-877-464-2500. I know it was easy. Turn the music up. We'll come to them in a minute. Good morning. Hi, good morning, caller. Your name, where you're calling from? Hi, good morning, caller. Your name, where you're calling from?
This is Philip calling from Natchez, Mississippi.
Philip calling from Natchez. Philip, you know the character that I'm talking about in the MASH sitcom?
Yeah, was it Hawkeye?
No, it wasn't Hawkeye. Good try, though, Philip. 1-877-464-2500. That's one of the characters, but it wasn't. And let me tell you, for the record, it wasn't Hot Lips Houlihan either. 1-877-464-2500. We got somebody on the line, CJ? Hi, good morning, caller. Your name, where you calling from?
Roland, calling from Alexandria.
Roland, go ahead and give him the answer, man.
I really don't know, but I'm going to give it a shot. Was it Radar?
And what was his last name?
Oh, I don't know his last name.
Come on, what kind of soda did he drink?
Sir?
What kind of soda did he drink?
Come on. He was the Radar man.
Radar O'Reilly was his name, and the type of soda that he drank was Grape Knee High. How could you forget that, Roland? But you tell you what, but you got the answer. Radar is correct. Congratulations, Roland. I'm sending you and a friend to the Pie Festival in LeCount this weekend. How about that?
All right, that's great. I really appreciate y'all staying on the air for an extra 30 minutes.
No, we appreciate y'all calling up. God bless you. Stand by. We're going to get some information from you. And all of our winners, all you have to do is go to Will Call at the gate of the festival. Tell them your name. Tell them your Eyes Open winner. And then they're going to give you two wristbands, one on you and one for you, boo. Phone lines are open at 1-877-464-2500, 1-877-464-2500, or 318-484-2500. Good morning.
Down. Make it come all the way down.
Yeah, you know we're living in another time there, CJ. I was looking at the state news this morning, and this appeared in the Advocate. Harassment award appeal bid declined. The U.S. Supreme Court refused Monday to consider the appeal of Shaw Coastal Incorporated, a subsidiary of Shaw, you know, the big mega company with all the money, for reversal of a $500,000 sexual harassment judgment awarded to a former employee, John Cherry, by a jury 2 years ago. Now, John Cherry said he worked and he had a supervisor. I don't know if it says a supervisor, but there was a judgment against Cherry's supervisor, Michael Reasoner. And in 2010, a judge Brady, reduced the judgment from $500,000 to $10,000, and then so a $10,000 judgment against Cherry's supervisor, Michael Reasoner, and $1,800, and he raised the $500,000 award against Shaw Coastal. Well, that appellate court reversed that lower court decision and awarded the money back. Wow. His attorney appears to be Jill Kraft, who is one of the same attorneys, I think, according to my knowledge, that's working on the seven people who were killed and slaughtered by the drunk driver. I think she's working on the civil case along with another attorney, a co-counsel on that. So she got this man $500,000. Didn't give up. She said, Jill Kraft, this is a huge victory. It is a classic case of David versus Goliath. And we just studied that. And matter of fact, Brother Allen preached on that at this Sunday service, at worship service on Sunday morning. Yeah, about David versus Goliath. Wow. Y'all want to know what happened? Well, the trial evidence supported the jury's decision that Cherry was sexually harassed. So here you have a man being sexually harassed by another man. Now, both of the people, certainly the guy who's being harassed, the harassee, said he's heterosexual. Now, the harasser, who's probably married, said he was heterosexual too. But he sent this man text messages. That digital media, CJ, getting them caught up. Facebook, you know, sending something to somebody.
New way.
Yep. And he sent, quote, a text. I want, and this is another way of saying it. This
wow.
Is I want male genitalia.
Wow.
Insert at your discretion the word that he used. And then another text he put, you are too sexy, period. You drive me insane. So what heterosexual man would be sending another ashy man a text about you're too sexy, you drive me as bruh, you ain't heterosexual. You know, you are not heterosexual. You're talking that kind of craziness to another man. Ugh, disgusting. Why are you frowning up your face like that? That's just make you want to it's crazy.
I can't understand.
Speaking of social media, cyber stalking prolongs the healing process. You know, if a girl break off and you can't get rid of the dude, he all up on your Facebook page, pouring salt. Well, when a relationship ends, Facebook can become the go-to tool for checking on the ex. As predictable as it may seem, British researchers that found that Facebook stalking only deepens emotional wounds. The new study reported that this common post-breakup practice harbors old feelings. Let's go with music, CJ. We ain't about running no spots. This is free airtime. Let's just blow the thing up. I want to give away some more tickets. The new study reported that this common post-breakup practice harbors old feelings and makes it difficult for an individual to move on with their life. The study sees, again, virtual life mirroring real life, said Brenda Wiederhold, editor-in-chief of the Cyber Psychology, Behavior, and Social Networking, which published the study out of Brunel University at, Uxbridge? She says, just as real-life contact with ex-partners may inhibit growth, healing, and well-being, so may virtual contact. Over 450 study participants admitted that they remained Facebook friends with an ex. It led to more stress, sexual desires, and other negative and lonely emotions. So when you break off the tie, what do you do when you take somebody off your Facebook? How do you remove them? Defriend them? Is that what they call it? Yeah, turn your mic off.
You defriend them.
Defriend them. So that's what you need to do. Defriend them, change your book.
Well, some of them don't want to. Don't let them fool you with that too, Tony. They want them to see what's going on.
Oh, is that right?
That's a messy medium.
That's a messy. That's why I stay off of it.
What should be for you to find out
where your people are,
where your family,
your high school, your union,
your frat,
yeah, what y'all doing? It's become if you use it for the right way, it can become a powerful tool. But so many people use it for evil. You know what's wrong with it? I don't know. Let's go ahead and hit that off.
Let's jam a little bit.
Let's send them our friend Chaka Khan. Find her drop,
Chaka
too.
Khan. Chaka Khan.
Speaking of, I'm going to have a trivia Chaka question. Khan. I want to give away some more Pie Festival tickets. Good morning. Let me rock it, that's all I want to do. Chaka Khan. Let me rock it, Chaka Khan. Let me rock it, got a feel for you. Chaka Khan, what you tell me what you want to do? Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? Chaka Khan, let me tell you what I want to do. I want to love you, want to hug you. Here, I got a good question, and I'm getting it from the Arnold Bonton Centennial Celebration African-American Study Guide, the 8th edition. Am I one of the editors on this edition? One of them years, I was one of the editors. I don't know if my name was on this one, but an earlier version. But this religious institution, remember my words, this religious institution gave black women an arena that allowed them to fight both racism and sexism. This religious institution gave black women an arena that allowed them to fight both racism and sexism. What I'm talking about. Good morning.
And you're listening to Eyes Open with Tony Brown.
1-877-464-2500. 1-877-464-2500. What religious institution gave black women an arena that allowed them to fight both racism and sexism? 1-877-464-2500. It's very simple. It's a simple answer. One word. 1-877-464-2500. 1-877-464-2500. This religious institution gave black women an arena that allowed them to fight both racism and sexism. Come on, nobody know the answer? Be the first one to give it the correct answer. Just take a guess at it. What is a religious institution? Let's go to the phone. The light bulb went off, CJ. Hi, good morning, caller. Your name, where you calling from? Hi, caller, good morning. Hi, caller. Good morning. Your name, where you calling from? Did we lose him?
Good morning.
Oh, there we go. That's CJ fault. I didn't hear you, baby. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Good morning. I'm Cheryl from Natchez, Mississippi.
Cheryl, go ahead and give people the answer. What religious institution gave black women an arena that allowed them to fight both racism and sexism?
Church.
Congratulations, girl. You're going to the LeCount Pie Festival. You are a winner. How'd you come up with that?
Because that was the only place we could be free.
Amen to that. Can I get an amen, sister?
Amen.
Wow. Stand by. That's over news time. 50 minutes past the hour. Good morning.
There you go. I said a hip hop. The hip me to the hip, hip hopper. You don't stop the rocker to the bang, bang, boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. I said a hip hop. the hippie to the hip, hip hopper. You don't stop the rocker to the bang, bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Well, cause you rock and roll with it so much so you can rock till you're 101 years old. I don't mean to brag, I don't mean to boast, but we're like hot butter on a breakfast toast. Rock it out, a baby bubba to the boogie to bang, bang the boogie to the beat. Beat is so unique. Come on, everybody, and dance to the beat.
Oh, we got y'all eyes wide open this morning.
Now, I saved this story. I had it last week, but I want to talk about corrupt individuals and how corruption can steal someone's freedom. And if you don't believe there's innocent people in prison, read this story right now or listen to this story I'm about to share with you. This story is out of Boston. Chemist told Massachusetts police she messed up bad. That's what she said. This story is out of Boston. A chemist at the center of a scandal at a Massachusetts drug lab admitted to investigators that she faked test results for 2 to 3 years. My God. Forged signatures and bypassed proper procedures, according to a state police report obtained last week by the Associated Press. The report indicates that Annie Dugan told police several times that she knew what she had done was wrong. This is her quote. "I screwed up big time," she said. "According to the report by investigators for Attorney General Martha Coakley's office, I messed up bad. It's my fault. I don't want the lab to get in trouble." Dugan's alleged mishandlings of drug samples at the lab has thrown thousands of criminal cases into question, and a handful of defendants already have been freed or had their sentences suspended.
Wow.
Wow. Dugan. Now, you remember they had the town in Texas? It was called Tulia, Texas. Our guy, Friends of Justice, Alan Bean, who helped us during the Gina, helped to expose this undercover narcotics agent who was taking crack off the street by smoking it and then allowing they locked up 80% of the black residents of the town, and he painted them all as drug dealers, and all of his information was false, and they had to go back in the Texas Attorney General and release all those black people from jail.
Great.
He locked up 80, this was a white guy, he locked up 80% of the town on a drug sweep in one day.
Wow.
In Tulia, Texas, same block, different corner with this case. Now, Dugan's alleged mishandling, again, I said, has freed people, suspended some sentences. Dugan has not been charged, and investigators have not said what her motive was. She has not responded to a repeated request for comments from the AP, and no one answered the door at her home in Franklin on last week. State police say Dugan tested more than 60,000 drug samples submitted in cases of about 34,000 defendants during her 9 years at the lab. She resigned in March amid an internal investigation by the Department of Public Health. After state police took over the lab in July as part of the state budget directive, they said they discovered her alleged violations were much more extensive than previously believed and were beyond sloppiness into malfeasance and deliberate mishandling of drug samples. So drug samples, which are evidence in criminal cases, she mishandled, mislabeled, tainted them, you know, did whatever she did with them, and subsequently led to more than how many arrests over a 9-year period? 34,000 defendants arrests. Wow. 54 minutes after the hour. You want to comment on that? You got a chance to. Good morning. 1-877-464-2500. Yeah, we're giving you something a little bit different. We extended Eyes Open up until 8 o'clock because we've been asked to do so. Wow. Colette and David are out. And kind of filling in the gaps. I know y'all miss me in this time slot. I sure do miss it. 1-877-464-2500. If I can sleep a little 30 minutes later, it'll be all good. Right, CJ?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 1-877-464-2500. What do you think about that? This lady hasn't been arrested. And do you think that all of the samples and everything that she touched in that lab involving any case should be thrown out? I would say that would be a yes. 1-877-464-2500 or 318-484-2500. Good morning. I know a lot of people can't believe it, but it's true. I don't understand why she hasn't been arrested. Hi, good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, That's crazy, Tony. This is Evelyn in Alexandria. That's crazy.
Ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
She needs to be thrown under the jail herself.
Yeah. They let her retire, but no charges.
They let her retire in the jail.
Yeah. They're going back in and checking her work. The lady, she was incompetent.
Man.
In a lab that actually her job was very crucial in depending in helping prosecutors and district attorneys decide whether people will go to jail or will not go to jail.
Was she trying to get a promotion or something?
They don't know what
the way to do it.
Well, we can't understand what the deal is. We don't know if she was just crazy, if she was just incompetent. We don't know. But somebody in Massachusetts has some splaining to do, like my pastor says.
Yeah, she would have some serious explaining why she was doing what she was doing.
Yeah, that's crazy. 34,000 cases.
They need to go on and arrest her.
Yep. I think some charges are due. And stick her in the place where she put some innocent people. How about that?
There you go.
All right.
See what they felt like.
All right, sugar. Take care.
Yeah. Have a great day.
Chemist told Massachusetts police she messed up bad. You think so? The woman basically did shoddy work, and they're going in, and now they're finding that it's malfeasance. Deliberately, she mishandled drug samples in very crucial cases. 34,000 of them over a 9-year period. So if they do what they did, what the federal government did in Tulia, Texas, they'd have to, anything that she touched has to be recounted, has to be bought back. Let's go to the phone. Serious issues on a serious show. Hi, good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning, Tony.
Who is this?
This is Roland from Alexandria.
Roland, you believe this story?
That's hard to believe, but nowadays, I mean, some people, she has to have an agenda to do that, though.
Yeah, they don't know what it is. I don't know. Is it just, let me just screw up people's lives? I mean, my job, decides the fate of people's very lives. And if you can't take that job seriously, and you just, throwing samples all over the place, mislabeling stuff, you don't care. Well, I don't know who this belongs to. Let me just make something up. It was that kind of malfeasance, deliberate, just unimaginable person who just doesn't care about people. That's crazy. But thank you for your call, Roland.
All right, Tony.
All right. This is the last one, CJ? Okay, we got to get out. That's going to wrap it up. We're going to continue this one tomorrow,
CJ.
We're going to be back tomorrow. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of Eyes Open for CJ, for Bianca Brown, Christina Robinson, and for myself. But the next time, stay tuned. Most importantly, as we always say, stay blessed, stay safe. Have a great morning.
Thanks for tuning in to Eyes Open with Tony Brown on your community strong, community aware station, 88.1 FM KAYT. Eyes Open with Tony Brown airs daily, Monday through Friday. If you have a topic you would like to discuss or an upcoming event you want mentioned on the air, send your emails to eyesopentbrown@yahoo.com or fax your request to the KAYT studios at 318-487-0909 or write to us at Eyes Open, care of KAYT Radio, 88.1 5003 Masonic Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302.
The views expressed on this program are solely of those who choose to participate in this open format.
Do you have a family member who has been arrested, served their time in prison or jail, and is still having a hard time finding employment? Do you know someone who is working several odd jobs but still can't make enough money to get a place to live on their own? Do you know someone who is a good person, has a good heart, and is determined to make it the legal way, but is frustrated because of the lack of resources in Louisiana? Reentry Radio is a broadcast that is sponsored by Reentry Solutions and the Louisiana Department of Public Safety and Corrections. Reentry Solutions is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that assists offenders with finding employment and successfully transitioning back into local communities. This program is paid for by The Walk Talk, which is an inmate criminal justice journal that is paid for by the inmates of Elaine Hunt Correctional Center in St. Gabriel, Louisiana. The goal of our program is to identify needed community resources so that persons who need the help can connect immediately, thereby helping an offender stay out of jail and preserve the family union. Our hosts for today's program are Candy Kristoff, licensed social worker with Reentry Solutions, and Michael Wynn, district administrator for the Alexandria State Probation and Parole Office. still having a hard time finding employment? Do you know someone who is working several odd jobs but still can't make enough money to get a place to live on their own? Do you know someone who is a good person, has a good heart, and is determined to make it the legal way, but is frustrated because of the lack of resources in Louisiana? Reentry Radio is a broadcast that is sponsored by Reentry Solutions and the Louisiana Department of Public Safety and Corrections. Reentry Solutions is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that assists offenders with finding employment and successfully transitioning back into local communities. This program is paid for by the Walk Talk, which is an inmate criminal justice journal that is paid for by the inmates of Elaine Hunt Correctional Center in St. Gabriel, Louisiana. The goal of our program is to identify needed community resources so that persons who need the help can connect immediately, thereby helping an offender stay out of jail and preserve the family unit. Our hosts for today's program are Candy Kristoff, licensed social worker with Reentry Solutions, and Michael Wynn, district administrator for the Alexandria State Probation and Parole Office.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Candy Kristoff, your host for today's program, and I am going to say that it is still a beautiful day, even though it is wet and raining outside. Anytime we are allowed to be among the land of the living with feet above ground, it's a wonderful, wonderful day. And I want to say to everyone that my host, co-host Mike Wynn, is not with me this morning. He's away taking care of some very important business on behalf of the Department of Corrections, and we will miss him today. I want to also say to those who have came in for the Faces of Freedom, thank you, thank you, thank you for showing your attendance and your participation with us. I want to say that we had a wonderful event celebrating Louisiana's first successful Reentry Awareness Day. It was attended by motorcycle riders, and the Faces of Freedom riders rode all the way to Avoyelles Correctional Center, and there the warden was able to greet them, and they had the best homemade cookies and punch that they're still marving about. We want to thank so much the inmates and the warden of Avoyelles Corrections for presenting Reentry Solution with a wonderful check. It made my heart smile. It made me smile and my heart skip a beat. Afterwards, the riders came back to the Alexandria area, and only after stopping by St. Gabriel Women's Correction, where they whirled around to show their support for the women that were at Avoyelles, and some of the women got a chance to see the motorcycles, the Faces of Freedom there. And we say to you guys, do what you need to do there to do smart time, so that when you're out, we're able to help you to connect and to reestablish yourself as law-abiding, successful citizens of our great state. After the motorcycle ride, then the gang came back to the Faces of Freedom that was so wonderfully hosted by the Renegade Harley-Davidson dealership. And there we had the antique car show, and there we had not Brad Randall, we had JoJo Reed and the Happy Heel Zydeco Band. And what a wonderful, wonderful job they did keeping us all entertained. At the 2:30 hour, we did have a program that celebrated successful reentry. After the 2:30 hour, we were able to read, well, during the 2:30 hour, we were able to read the proclamation from our very own governor that indicated that the fourth week of March, from this point on in the history of Louisiana, will be celebrated as Successful Reentry Awareness Week. Wow, what a wonderful event. We also had the mayors of Alexandria, Pineville, New Iberia, DeRidder, Lake Charles, Shreveport. Trying to think where else. I didn't write my list down, but we had several others, even Baton Rouge, bring their proclamations indicating successful reentry awareness. Bossier City was also one of those mayors that also participated in that. And then we ended the day, ladies and gentlemen, with wonderful tributes to our veterans who have served and to our returning citizens of incarceration. We want to thank everyone who came out and participated. Michael Jackson, the manager for Senator Mary Landrieu's office, was there. We just had a wonderful time. If you missed it, put on your calendars for next year, the fourth Saturday of March, we will have. I want to also go to this time to thank our wonderful, wonderful sponsors, Bancorp South, the Department of Corrections. We want to thank Cunningham Business System. All of these persons helped to, and businesses helped to make our event a successful one. The motorcycle clubs that participated, the individual clubs at Avoyelles who saw fit in their heart to say, we want to do more. Even though we are incarcerated, we want to do more to show our support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. They raised $500 and contributed to our organization. Now, you may be thinking, I'd like to help with this. In some way, I want to be of help. It is not too late. You can contact Reentry Solutions by dialing 318-443-0189, 318-443-0189, and you can get your patches for $10 to be, if you weren't able to ride but want to contribute, get your patch for $10. And if you want to do a donation, please do so. Our website address is re-entrysolutions.com. And the number 4LA.com. That's re-entrysolutions and the number 4LA.com. And then the other thing that I want to make sure that we stop and that we thank the Phelps Correctional Center. You guys helped us in a wonderful, wonderful way with Mrs. Rachelle, who's always there to help. I'm sorry, Pollock Prison. We want to thank you for allowing Mrs. Rachelle to come and help with us. And I know she volunteers a lot of her own personal time. Thank you so much. Now, with all of that said and done, I want to say if you'd like to give a donation, contact us. It's not too late to do your part to help. Whether you have time or talents, we're here and we need your time, talents, and your funding to be able to continue to do what we do well. We want to say to those who are tuning in for the first time, and you may have heard a lot about our first successful Reentry Awareness Day, and you're wondering, what else is this woman going to talk about? Well, I want to let you know the purpose of this broadcast, and that is to make sure that we unite and coordinate with existing community resources and develop needed resources to help assist an ex-offender, a returning citizen, from incarceration and from our armed services to return back to civilization. We want to be able to help them to help themselves. We're not soft on crime, and we're by no means willing to give a hand out, but we are committed to giving a hand up to those persons who are in need of and who are ready to walk into the next destiny of life for themselves. Our goal is to identify existing resources, and today we will have with us a community resource, a community partner from afar, but still able to do a lot of work in an area that we are going to discuss today. And our goal is to identify ex-offenders or returning citizens from incarceration and our local vets. We want to do that so that we can help find out what their needs are and then match those needs with resources. We could not do this without Christoph Counseling and Associates, one of our proud sponsors. We could not do this without Housing Options of Louisiana. We just couldn't do it without you guys. So we say to you guys, thank you so much. But more importantly, we are just as importantly, we could not do this without the Walk Talk of St. Gabriel. Thank you, ladies, and thank you, gentlemen, for contributing to allow us to continue to be on the air. We just literally couldn't do it without you. And I look forward to coming to be a speaker with you all sometime in the very near future. My co-host would always come in at this point in time and give homage to those who were with us on last week. And we want to say thank you to Judge Cook, the 9th Judicial District Judge. She's over the criminal division now. And to Mike Stelly, who was with the laboratory director of the North Louisiana Crime Lab. They provided a full service of DNA and drug and blood and alcohol and all kind of lab work that they do to help make sure that prosecution remains scientific and fair so that innocent persons are not incarcerated. And today with us on air, we have two call-in guests. And as we're trying to work through the technical difficulties, we have both on now. Good. We have both on now. We want to thank Mrs. Susan Sufordino, who is president and founder of Speak Out Against Child Sexual Abuse. Susan, can you say hello to our listening audience?
Hi, everybody.
Good. We can hear you loud and clear, Susan. Thank you for your patience, and thank you so much, Jackie, for making sure we are on the air well. And also we have with us Milani Marquez, who is the volunteer outreach coordinator and the Facebook person for Speak Out. Milani, are you able to hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Good. Both are on with us. Thank you guys so much. And thank you, Jackie, for working your magic. Ladies, welcome to Reentry Radio. And for those who are listening for the first time, Susan, why don't you tell them a little bit about Speak Out and what is Speak Out?
Okay. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. It's called Speaking Out Against Child Sexual Abuse Incorporated. And we also just go by Speaking Out. Basically, we do child sexual abuse awareness and prevention. That's our primary purpose. It's about educating people and getting them to educate and talk to their own children and the children in their care. In addition, we touch on healing because we hear from a lot of adult survivors just because of what the organization is about. We do touch on that as well. So that's the primary of what we do. We focus on the home, parents and grandparents. We believe that child safety begins at homes. And I believe also that if every adult were to step up and try to do something about this crime, then a lot of children would be a lot better off. Mm-hmm. So our whole goal is to encourage people to not act like this isn't happening behind the scenes and to step up as the adults and do something about this crime.
Mm. And, you know, sexual abuse is something that hits home in everybody's home, whether they verbalize it or not. I don't know of any home that has not been directly affected by it. And I want to commend you guys on your efforts to do it as a therapist who provides treatment for the abuser. Your work is so needed. Hand in hand, we can make the difference to make sure our world is a safer place for all people to live. Can you tell us a little bit about what type of awareness do you do in the home setting? What are some of the things you say to those moms and dads and grandparents to help make sure that their home is safer and that their awareness is at a higher level?
Okay, well, I mean, I basically almost always start off with to encourage parents to never assume that just because they know who their child is with and where they are, that it could not happen to them. And I think that a lot of parents believe, well, as long as I know where my child is, this isn't going to happen. And as I'm sure many people listening know, it's a huge percent. It generally is between 90 and 95% is someone that the child knows. So I always tell them, don't assume that. You don't know everything about the people around you. Another thing that I tell and stress often is to never assume that if it is happening or has happened to their child that they will come and tell them. Mm-hmm. Everybody says, but my children and I have an open relationship. They tell me everything. They can't keep a secret to save their life. And I'll tell you from experience that I know that children do many times, more often than not, keep this particular crime a secret just for a variety of reasons, fear being one of them. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to ask you, for those, I know that you've ran across parents and grandparents who were shocked that such a thing actually happened to them. What was some of the things, warning signs that they should look for? in the home.
Warning signs with the child?
Yes, with the child.
Right. Well, and the thing is, and again, let me stress again, we're about trying to prevent it in the first place. But
yes.
Unfortunately, no matter what all we do, you know, we're not going to be able to ever, I don't believe, completely stop this crime.
Yes.
So let me find some. There's a long list, but let me go through some of the things that they can look for. Basically, and keeping in mind that just about all signs and symptoms that we're going to discuss could be possible signs and symptoms for other things. It could be some other type of distress in the home, as simple as a divorce. It could be a medical issue. But there is a fairly long list of things to look for. Do you want me to just kind of go through some of them?
Well, just hit the highlights, yes.
Okay. Well, obviously, this one, it would be a little harder to determine, you know, what's causing it, but a gradual and or sudden changes in behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Every child reacts differently. Aggressive, disruptive behavior. And one of the things that stick out for me is cruelty to others and cruelty to pets,
mm-hmm.
Just because of their acting out and not knowing how to handle what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
It could be recurring nightmares, disturbed sleep patterns, a fear of the dark. And again, you know, how many children aren't afraid of the dark, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's something you really, right, you have to look further into it.
Okay.
Another one that I like to point out is, especially for a smaller child, regression to more of an infantile behavior, which could be bedwetting, thumb sucking, excessive crying. A child that is really beyond the age of doing those things that may be reverting back to doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something to really look into, I believe, because I know something is causing that.
Yes.
And
yes.
Unfortunately, child sexual abuse is a possibility of mm-hmm. what may be causing that.
Mm-hmm. And again, to emphasize to our listening audience that it could be other things going on, but you definitely want to check. And Susan, why do you think so many parents and grandparents, I guess, just assume that it won't happen? Because they, I guess, because of the familiarity with the people that the children are with, is, do you think that that's the biggest hurdle in preventing this, that people just assume it won't happen to their child?
Well, I think that's a big part of it. I think primarily, first of all, it's just a very sensitive, uncomfortable topic, and none of us want to talk about it. None of us want to think about it. I mean, none of us want to think that anybody could possibly do such a thing to a child. And a lot of it for me is that right there, it's denial.
Mm-hmm.
Denial that it actually happens, that it happens as often as it does, and that it could possibly happen to their own child or a child that they care about.
Mm-hmm.
And also what you said, you know, they're like, but I always, same thing I went back to a while ago that I said just a little while ago, you know, I always know where my child is, or I always know who they're with. That does not necessarily mean that this cannot happen to them. So I think it's a combination of that and many other things, to be honest with you.
Okay. And for grandparents, because grandparents are so loving, what are some things that grandparents need to do to increase their awareness or to get the topic discussed? What are some things you say to grandparents?
To grandparents, I just ask them to be involved with the parents, which are generally, you know, obviously their child and a spouse, you know, someone. It's for them, first of all, for me, for all adults, until you know what you're dealing with, what to look for, how it works, how the perpetrators pursue children, until you really know about this crime, I don't think any of us can help anybody. So I encourage grandparents specifically to become very educated, whether through our organization or other organizations, to get real familiar with how it works. And it may or may not be their place to specifically talk to the grandchild, because ultimately it's the parent's decision. So then I encourage them. They say, well, I don't think that my son or daughter-in-law or whatever would want me to talk to their child. They may get angry.
Mm-hmm.
But then I encourage them to talk to them,
okay,
to get with them and continue to encourage them, because they don't want to overstep boundaries,
mm-hmm,
you know, that may be in place.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, that goes for any adult, you know, even mm-hmm. if you work with or around children, if you have nieces or nephews, grandchildren, children of your own, teachers, caregivers, to me, all adults need to know that this is going on, because we pass children and are by them every single day in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So I just encourage them. I always say, you know, you can't know what to do or what to look for if you don't know what animal you're fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
This is
you
true.
You have to know the crime. You
mm-hmm.
have to know what to look for.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that you, I know that your awareness, I know that you've been on our program before, and we're so glad to have you again. And I just want you to tell our listening audience about some other ways that you make awareness to this crime and to increase the sensitivity. I know that you come on radio programs, and you also have a website. Tell us a little bit about other ways that you are working to get the awareness and the prevention of childhood sexual abuse out there to the world.
Okay, sure, absolutely. Well, speaking engagements, then, just like you said, whether that's radio, in person, I get invited to other people's events or groups, and I'll do it over the radio. I've not done TV yet, but I'm always open to anything, you know, to raise awareness for children. So anytime I can speak, whether it's for 15 minutes or 3 hours, you know, I do that as often as I can. Also, we have what we call a child sexual abuse awareness and prevention workshop, and it's a 4-hour interactive workshop, and it's basically, we call it a safe place, and it's one of those things where, if I can go back for just a second, though we are based in Tennessee, our vision is raising awareness all across America. So we are trying to, you know, we're venturing out further in other states for things. For example, I'm on a Louisiana radio program today, you know, and we're in Tennessee, so it's about raising awareness. We set up information tables at other people's events locally. So even Milani, who you'll talk to in just a little bit as well, in Hawaii at one point, you know, had our brochures out at an event that was going on a military base. Well, actually, I think she was in California at the time. So we'll set up information table, hand out information to the parents, hand out little coloring sheets to the children that encourages the parents to hopefully sit down and talk to them about what's appropriate and inappropriate touch. And then, of course, so we're starting to branch out a little bit. And then, like you said, we have a website. I am always constantly trying to update it, but we have a pretty good website, and I continue to try to keep it updated. We are now on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, so we utilize all three of those social networking sites to raise awareness, to connect with people, to connect with other organizations that are fighting the same thing. They may be coming at it from a different angle, but we're all fighting for the same thing. And the reason I say that is a lot of the other organizations that are out there fight things from a more like a legal perspective. You know, there's a lot of social workers out there and stuff. And speaking out, we come at it from a parent's perspective and also from a survivor's perspective. So it's just another way to approach this crime so that we can all put our minds together and do what's best for children.
I know so many people are wondering at this point in time, how can I connect? Give us your contact information so that if a listening person out there would like to invite you to a speaking engagement, would like to get more information, can you give us your contact information?
Absolutely. Our main office number is area code 865-230-8600. And that's a good way to contact me, but also email. I'm in email all the time. And that would be Susan, S as in Susan, S-D as in David, at speakingout-csaforchildsexualabuse.com. So it's Susan, S-D, at speakingout-csa.com. Our website address is www.speakingout-csa.com. And I'll tell you also, Candy, if I can real quick, is that we also send out a monthly e-newsletter, and it's something we send out by email. So for anyone out there, if you want to start receiving our monthly newsletters, which we use as not only an awareness and prevention tool, but to advertise upcoming things that we have going on or when we need volunteers. To sign up for that, you can do that a variety of ways. You can simply call and leave a message and say, hey, here's my email address. I'd like to be added on. You can email me directly, or you can go to our Contact Us page on our website, and there's a little box that you can check that says, please add me to your distribution list. If you're not doing that, we also post our newsletters now, the information from our newsletters, out on our social networking sites. So if you're on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter, you know, you will find information there. The easiest way to connect with us on any three of those, the quickest way, is to go to our homepage on our website, and there's a direct link to each of those social networking sites.
So that's key there, going to that website so that you can connect to those social websites. And again, ladies and gentlemen, that website address is www.speakingout-csa.com. That's www.speakingout-csa.com. And Susan, all the way from Tennessee. And then we have Milani, who is all the way in Hawaii. Correct, Milani?
Yes, ma'am.
And how is the weather in Hawaii?
It is gorgeous out here. Every day is gorgeous. I'm very blessed to be here.
Yes, you are very blessed to be in Hawaii. My husband and I had the opportunity to go several years ago, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And I don't know if you guys know, but we are among tornado watches and thunderstorms here in Louisiana. How's the weather in Tennessee, Susan?
Way hotter than it's supposed to be. And we have a lot of rain here and there as well, but I can tell you much seasonably warmer than normal.
Milani, I understand that you help out with this social networking aspect with speaking out. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm basically the volunteer outreach coordinator for Facebook, and I basically try to utilize social networking, since it is the fastest medium to outreach to people these days. And through Facebook, I put out information of upcoming events. I also research news stories in the media, current events that deal with child sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. And I put out a lot of awareness information, just some of the information that you asked for, the signs and the symptoms. Mm-hmm. I take it off of our website and I post it onto our Facebook wall, just trying to create awareness and empowering our fans to become educated and just to begin the discussion of talking about child sexual abuse with their children or grandchildren, nieces or nephews.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say hats off to both of you ladies, because one is in Tennessee and the other is in Hawaii. And what a fine example of how partnering together, you can really make the difference. And I just say hats off to both of you guys. And I heard you, Susan, say keeping that website up is a challenge. And I understand that, because ours is the same. But just hearing you guys network, even in Hawaii, having Milani as a volunteer outreach coordinator just for the Facebook part, that again shows how people can, whatever little time and talents and resources they have, if you're willing to put it together, how you can really make a difference. Milani, I just can't say thank you enough. If I was close to you, I'd give you a big old southern hug.
Thank you very much. And just that, like as you said, this anywhere in the U.S., if you are willing to make a difference, you can, and we encourage that. I try to encourage that from our fans, that you don't necessarily have to be in the state of Tennessee where Susan is at to make a difference or an impact in the cause or the organization. And so I know a lot of people are on social media networks, and so if there's any Twitter fans, any other Facebook fans or LinkedIn fans, please join us. Help our cause. We'd be more than happy to have you.
Mm-hmm. What got you into speaking out, Milani?
Very good question. I am actually a child sexual abuse survivor, and I came across Susan because I was researching some information that I wanted to present at a community event. And thank goodness, thank God, I was led to Susan's organization, and I liked a lot of the information that she presented, and I gave her a call one day, and I asked her for permission to use some of her brochures, and she agreed, and from there, the rest is history. And she's just been an inspiration to me, and I just, from there at that point, I just knew that this was speaking out was something that I wanted to be a part of, because I believe so much in the cause, and I believe in Susan and the difference that she's making in the lives of survivors and just being proactive.
Well, I want to say as a survivor too, that the cause is so needed. And I think that those experiences that we go through as children, as I often say, the old folk used to say, if it don't kill you, it'll sure make you stronger and wiser. And so I feel that it is our personal duty to continue on to make sure that the healing process, that the awareness process, and most definitely the prevention of it continues on in as forceful of an effort as we could. Susan, tell us a little bit about what are your goals for speaking out?
The goal is to just, honestly, is our vision, is to raise awareness and aid in the prevention all across America. And don't get me wrong, we care about what happens to other people in other countries. Let me clarify that. We're 4 years old. We just celebrated our 4-year anniversary, and yes, we're not global yet. Mm-hmm. So there are so many cities, there are so many people that still know nothing about our website, that there are so many people in this nation that do not even give this a second thought. And you know, very briefly, and I probably talked about this on the first show, I've been with you guys, this is my third time to be with you guys. You know, I deal with it as from a parent's perspective. I've dealt with it with one of my children for over 12 years. So this is something near and dear to my heart. I know what it looks like to look at a child who has been violated and not know how to protect them, or how did I not see this? How did I not know? How did I not know what those signs and symptoms were? So at this point, the vision is just to continue raising awareness. There's so much and so many people, and the United States is a huge place. Mm-hmm. This will take us a long time to really, really, really penetrate, along with other organizations. And from there in the future, it's just kind of, we'll see where it goes. I mean, I don't feel comfortable going global yet. I call us a baby organization with a huge mission. We stay very busy, but we're also, again, 4 years old. We've not been around for 50 years, you know.
Well, let me say happy late birthday to you. And I know that you guys will be around a lot longer. As with Reentry Solutions, I always say that we know that we will be here because unless the Lord comes back before, we know the need will continue to be there.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And Melani, how successful has this social networking aspect of getting the awareness and prevention out, how successful has that been?
I would like to say we've been pretty successful. Our numbers are growing every day. Our fan numbers are not as big as the larger organizations, but it is growing steadily. We get new followers every day. Right now, our demographics, we currently have 74 of our fans are female, 25% of them are male. So I usually have goals. I try to, if I see that there's a certain demographics out there that we can increase, then I try to look for ways to try to hit that target demographics. But just as Susan has mentioned, that we do have followership outside of the U.S. So I think that in itself, that's great. I mean, we've also had volunteers that come from other countries that asked to volunteer, which unfortunately we had to decline. But just knowing that mm-hmm. we are also able to reach outside of the U.S., I think is great. Just being able, just connecting also with other survivors. What we do on Facebook is we also do a call out for other survivors, and we let them know that if they are ready and when they are ready, that we are giving them the opportunity to speak out about this crime. And we give them our contact number, and they usually get in contact with Susan, and they tell a little bit about, they give their testimony, and then we, with their permission, either anonymously or unanonymously, we'll post it on Facebook or their newsletter. So it's just about creating a united front, especially for the month of April. We're really trying to push out there that let's become a united front. Let's give this crime a voice, and we're giving them that opportunity, that platform to do it.
Now, you know, in Louisiana, and I'm not sure about in Tennessee and Hawaii and other areas of the nation, but April is Victim Awareness Month. Does it correlate the same in your areas?
Yes, it is. And for us, it's National Child Abuse Prevention Month. I've heard it's Sexual Assault Prevention Month. But we always really touch on, this is Susan, by the way, mm-hmm. we always really touch on, and we call it National Child Abuse Prevention Month. And that's, we really try to push that. And like Melani said, for that month specifically, which we encourage anytime. When I say we're calling all non-offending adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse to speak out, we're not necessarily talking about tell the details of what happened. We're talking about, hey, I'm a survivor. This is the relationship of the person who did it to me. Like, tell their story briefly and then what they want to say of how we can fight this all together. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in our recent newsletter, a lady from Houston, Texas, she's actually with another organization, had this fantastic quote, and she is a survivor, and it talks about how if every adult survivor basically joined in together, how strong a force we'd be mm-hmm. fighting against this crime, mm-hmm. you know, even just the multitudes and the numbers of, yes. And so we're trying to encourage that. Mm-hmm. So anyone out there, you shoot me an email, you know, mm-hmm. tell your story, go to our website, click on testimonials, mm-hmm. and under testimonials, you'll see another little link that says survivors are speaking out, and you'll kind of see the few that have so far. And we really want a big push for April. Mm-hmm. Let's really make some noise. It's you know, I mean, we should do it all year long anyway, but, yes. you know, we just really want to push that and say, survivors, let's get together. And I'm a parent, and I'm a parent dealing with this, and, you know, and so let's all get together and really make some noise and do this. And we're doing it for the children. It's all about the children.
I can see the support group needs for adult survivors of childhood molestation, and I can see the need for a support group for parents who, you know, survivors who are now parents. I don't want this horrible thing to happen to my children. My mother didn't want it to happen to me, and it happened. What can I do? And to be able to verbalize that to someone who understands, who has been there, I can definitely see the need for that. Is there a chatting opportunity online for that type of support group to formulate, or do you all have one already?
We hear from a lot of adult survivors, and even Milani can speak to that on Facebook. But I tell you, right now, I'm temporarily coordinating our Twitter and LinkedIn pages until we find a volunteer that can do that. And that is who we primarily hear from, our adult mm-hmm. survivors. So we have communication with them. Mm-hmm. We hear from them. We do not have a chat room, if
gotcha.
You will. There
mm-hmm.
are groups out there. In fact, I was on a recent, in fact, if it's okay, I'd like to kind of recommend them.
Go
I was
ahead.
A guest on their radio, internet blog radio program, and it was, I think they could, for survivors, it could be a fantastic radio program to get connected with. It's internet blog radio, but it's called SCAN, S-C-A-N, Stop Child Abuse Now, and the host is Bill Murray. Everybody just about on there, the host as well as the panel, there's a small panel, they're all adult survivors, and so if you want to get connected with them, I was literally just, I think, 2-3 weeks ago on their radio program. You can access that and listen to it if you'd like on our homepage. Just mm-hmm. scroll down to the bottom and you'll see a link. Or if you want to just go directly to them, it's basically www.blogtalkradio.com/Bill-Murray. And it's a daily, I think they do shows 6 nights a week.
Wow.
And this is geared towards survivors. And I was, believe it or not, had the honor of being probably one of the first guests that was not an actual survivor, but yet I am a parent that has dealt with this and deals with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to talk about it in it from a different perspective and how we need to all push together.
Give us that
so
website again. Give us that website again for them.
Okay, it's www. I think they do the HTTP
okay.
:// www.blogtalkradio.com/Bill, B-I-L-L, hyphen, and then Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've been on the program, I'd say that they're a great group to get connected with. If you're a survivor and just want to hear other survivors, mm-hmm. you can. They have a chat room during every program. That's how some of the people connected connected when we were on, when I was a guest. And they also, like once on the program, you can go back and listen to all their past programs. And it's a Survivors Network is what it is.
Okay.
So I thought that'd be good to put out there because, again, it's fresh in my mind. I just was honored to be a guest on their program recently. So.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, that it is www.blogtalkradio.com/Bill-Murray, and it is Survivors Network for Childhood Sexual Abuse. Look like the more ways we can get together to connect, the more stronger the voice will be. And the stronger the voice, the more changes that can occur. I have a question for you, Susan. Do you feel that the laws that we have with regard to prosecution of those of sexual offenders have been effective to slow down the abuse of children?
It is a loaded question.
Do you feel that there has been a successful impact with it to slow it down, to decrease it?
I'm not sure I know how to answer that, because here's the way I look at it. Okay. And again, I'm coming at it from a parent's perspective in having dealt with it and having had difficulties getting protection for my child. So I'm looking at it in a little bit different way. What I can say is that when that system works, it works well. And you know that, Candy, because mm-hmm. you deal with these guys. That's what you do.
Yes.
You're dealing with and trying to help heal and get mm-hmm. them mm-hmm. where they don't go out and do that again when they get out of prison.
Right.
You know, so you deal with that end of it. But I can tell you there is also that there are multitudes, if not the majority, that are never convicted, and therefore the child is never protected. Mm-hmm. So when you ask me that question, I say to myself, okay, to me, if one child is not protected, that's too many.
Too many, yes. Right? To me as well, definitely.
Right? Because
yes.
every one child matters. I always say this.
Definitely.
What if that one child were your child? Whoever mm-hmm. I'm talking to, what mm-hmm. if that was your child?
Mm-hmm.
Is just that one, even if it was just one that wasn't protected by the system and the law, right?
Oh, I agree.
I can't speak. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying I agree with you. Go ahead.
Right. And I'll say this. I believe that the majority of people, you know, it's a complex system. I mean, everything from social workers to attorneys, you've got the court system, you've got the person who reports it. I mean, from point A to Z, there's a whole lot of entities that get involved. And I look at it as kind of like a link of chain, and how each link represents a person or an entity. And how that breakdown occurs is because there's so many places that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is one link in a chain to break for the whole system to come crashing down. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that happens a lot.
Okay.
It happens a lot.
Definitely.
So, again, it's kind of a loaded question to ask me.
I understand.
You know?
I understand. Hey,
okay.
We are on Reentry Radio, and that will also bring about more awareness and stimulate thought as to what
right.
all we can do. I want to talk a little bit about the healing aspect of it and the healing concept that you have. Tell us a little bit more about that, please.
Absolutely. And again, that's not our primary area, so it's not like we're not therapists. We don't do therapy. I can tell you what we do well.
Okay.
And I do it often in person or on phone, is I can be a listening ear.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just because sometimes they just want somebody who truly cares, that truly understands, and they just listen to them. I don't even say anything half the time. I just listen. But when I do get the opportunity, some of the things that I encourage, and again, it's very vague because we're not therapists and we're not, you know, specializing in that, is of course I tell them, you know, you can go from being a victim to a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the next step, that there's the next step to do more than just survive, you know, because I'll be honest with you, I just survived some things as well, and that's not that great.
Yeah.
You know, there is another step, you know, and to work toward that, as hard as that may be, as long as it takes.
Mm-hmm.
I always, of course, repeatedly tell them, because they need to hear it over and over, that it wasn't their fault.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter how old they were. It doesn't matter who did it to them. It doesn't matter who believed them or didn't believe them. It doesn't matter if they didn't tell anybody. If they were under the age of 18 and they were violated by someone, it was not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't have never been put in that position in the first place. And I just encourage them to really truly believe that in their heart, as they call it, as dirty as they feel, it's not their fault. They didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go a little bit further, and I talk about how, you know, that they have to remember that their innocence was not lost. It was stolen. This is someone else did this to them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, it's nothing that they could possibly have done different. They were just a child.
Yes.
Okay? And then things that I encourage, to get to your actual question, I'm sorry,
That's
talk
okay.
a lot.
Go ahead.
As I always say, reveal the truth. No more secrets, because that secret is like a cancer. I mean, it will eat you away. And many of you out there say, yeah, no, I've been doing it my whole life, you know, and well, I've been denying this and acting like it never happened. To reveal the truth, there's no shame in it for you. There is no shame in it for you as a survivor. Just saying it is a baby step in healing. I also say talk about it with people who will listen, whether that's a therapist, a support group, another survivor, an organization like mine who can just be a listening ear and be there for you because mm-hmm. we do understand. And I encourage that when I say talk about it, I don't mean over and over and over again. The purpose is to talk about it, face what happened, and move forward.
There we go.
And that may take, right, that may take 1 month for someone, and that may take 25 years for someone else, mm-hmm. right?
But the moving on is essential. As a survivor myself, I recall an incident in which I was having anxiety as a result of, and one of my teachers told me, she said, you've got to get to the point where you're not going to let this hold you hostage anymore.
Right.
And that was a breakthrough moment for me because it for the first time there was a conscious awareness that I have some control now. I can right. either be held hostage or I can no longer let this have me held hostage. And
right.
I think that's just essential in moving forward.
Right. Another thing, too, and I agree with you. I agree with you completely because I've talked to so many survivors, and I'm, you know, who isn't a survivor of something, right?
Yes, yes.
So when I wrote a lot of this stuff and these steps, it was not just, you know, for survivors. It's for anything because I myself have to survive this crime as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's how I try to keep moving forward. And it's not easy.
No, it's not.
It is not easy. And the other part is to not feel alone. I felt alone for a very long time. About 8 years dealing with this as a parent, and I have to tell you, that's how speaking out came to be, because I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't even know where to go. Nobody wants to talk about this. I can't even vent, you know. Nobody mm-hmm. wants to talk about this, and so that's kind of where speaking out came from. It was like somebody needs to be out there opening up that door, whether it's a child or adult survivor or someone wanting to help me fight this. We need to be able to talk about it.
And you
can't fix it if you don't talk about
it. You definitely can't fix it if you don't acknowledge it and you're not willing to talk about it. And I hate so much that the tragedy happened, but I think it's just awesome how God, your higher power, is allowing you to use this as stepping stones to help right. bring about positive change.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Another thing, Candy, is I say seek professional help if needed and as needed, because you, I know you would know this. I think mm-hmm. we've even talked about this the first time I was on the program. Some people, they'll go through therapy or counseling or find that right support group, and they get better and they quit going. But something, you know real well, I'm sure all of survivors know there are triggers out there.
Yes.
And sometimes you need to go back.
Yes.
Don't hesitate. That doesn't mean you've gone backwards, really. It just means something triggered it,
mm-hmm.
and you seek help again.
Yes.
And again and again and again, and you don't let this defeat you. You do more than just survive. That's what I encourage.
I often say to my clients and to those who happen to ask me for advice regarding counseling and the need of counseling, and that is counseling is medicine. And you have to look at it as medicine, and whenever right. and you need to take it as prescribed. And as you begin to feel better, sometimes you may be over it and you may not need the medicine again. But if the symptoms come back, you need to get back on the medicine, and that
right.
is counseling. And counseling works. I know some people may think in their mind, I don't want to just go talk to somebody. I don't see how it works. I promise you, I've not invested my entire life in learning how to provide effective treatment and counseling. If it didn't work, it definitely works. But you have to look at it as medicine, and you have to take it as prescribed. And when the symptoms are gone and you stop, if the symptoms come back, you have to get back on the medicine and the regimen that will work for you to help you move on further forward.
Right. And some people never really feel the need. Everybody's different. Everybody copes differently. Everybody deals with things differently. And everybody heals at a different pace and in a different way. For some people, their whole therapy or professional help may be just a support group, like that radio program. Or, you know, I have this one lady who's dealing with this, for example, as a mother here in Tennessee. I hear from her every now and then. Every now and then, she just needs another parent who's dealt with this to hear her, to let her vent, to say, I still can't get protection from my child. I still don't know what to do. I still don't know how to fix this. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a bunch of things that she'll just need to get it out of her. Mm-hmm. For some people, whether you're a survivor or the parent or whatever, that may be all it is. Mm-hmm. Or talking to just one other survivor. You find what works for you. You find what works for you. And this, not the last thing, but to do something about this crime, I always say this, and I speak for myself, not just about this crime, but other things. There is healing in fighting against that very thing that tried to destroy you.
I like that.
And I
like
that healing concept. In that.
Say that one more time.
There is healing, or at least some healing, in trying to fight against that very thing that tried to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
Fight it. Join us or another organization, support a cause, volunteer your time, be a listening ear for another survivor, whatever it is. Help us do awareness and prevention by when you see our stuff on Facebook, because Melanie's doing an excellent job, by the way, utilizing that resource, you know, forward those posts, you know. Mm-hmm. There are so many ways. Just do something about it. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that's behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And for some people like Melanie, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, and I just wanted to add that support legislation that also works to prevent, that takes preventative measures. There are laws that are out there that are being adopted by some states. It's called Aaron's Law, and that law helps to create a sexual abuse task force that will have sexual abuse prevention education in our school curriculum, just like we have fire drill curriculums, drug reduction curriculums that's being taught in school, we need to start having sexual abuse prevention education curriculums taught to our kids, because if parents are not doing it in the home, somebody has to take responsibility for education, educating our kids.
Wow. And you know, Melanie, thank you so much for bringing that up, because that would be an effective way. And that I could see that reaching every kid, because every kid is required to go to school. And this would be one way, just as sex education, just as history and math and science and reading is discussed, and we make sure that those elements are mastered, then we need to make sure that this prevention aspect is there. How would one be able to go about to see if that particular legislature is in their state? Or do you all have, how could we find out more about that, Melanie?
Well, there is actually an advocate by the name of Erin Marin, and you can find her on the internet, www.erinmarin.com or .net. And it basically, this woman is not only an advocate for, she's a survivor, but she is an activist for sexual abuse prevention education. And I think she's doing just a phenomenal job out there creating awareness. She's been on, I believe, the Montel Jordan show?
Yes.
And she's been on Oprah.
Okay.
She has also been on Oprah. So, I mean, if you go onto her website, again, her name is Erin Marin. That's E-R-I-N. Last name Merrin. You can see just the journey that she has taken. And so she has actually inspired me to advocate for legislation in my hometown, which is Guam, which just passed last year. So now there's a task force in my hometown in Guam that has been created, that is currently working to bring prevention education, sexual abuse prevention education into the school system.
Oh.
So that's one way. I mean, being proactive, that we can help stop the crime by being proactive, by doing what we need to do, which is educating our kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we can prevent the crime from ever happening.
I thank you so much for bringing that up. That is so helpful. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are wanting to know how to go about getting legislative in your particular state to create legislation that will actually make law to have in the schools a curriculum on child sexual abuse prevention, one activist and advocate would be Erin Marin, www.erinmerryn.com. www.erinn.com. Again, that's www.erinnmerryn.com. I am definitely going to have to make sure that I put on the lookout to see if Louisiana has legislature already enacted and in place to make sure that we have child sexual abuse prevention curriculum in our schools. I had never really thought about it. I had proposed at one time and said maybe we need to go into the schools to do some workshops and things, but to have an actual
life skill. I think it's a life skill. It's a life skill concept that all of our children should learn, because just like how we have fire drills, that just what we need to, the step that we need to take when there's a fire, well, we already have that embedded in our
memory.
Psyche.
Yes,
exactly. But the chances of us, I mean, think about it, through our lifetime, the chances of us, we are more likely to be sexually abused as a child than we are to be in a fire, being caught in a fire. So it just makes sense to teach that.
It definitely does. And I wanted to ask you a question too, Milani. Are you finding more followers on Twitters or on LinkedIn or on Facebook? Where are you finding the most participation and inquiry into your organization?
I would say Facebook. It's the biggest social network out there. So it's Facebook. I mean, we have, like I said earlier, we have followers that come on every day. We also have survivors who are just courageous and admit, or they give their testimony of abuse. Just being able to trust us, to confide in us, and share that with us, that's such an honor for us.
Yes.
And just knowing that we are building, that we're uniting, mm-hmm. that survivors are uniting, and that parents are coming together, and just having them acknowledge that this is a crime and we need to do something about it is just indescribable.
It's an honor and a privilege to be able to meet the needs of those who are hurting and to meet the needs of those who are in need. And Susan, I want to kind of end with you a little bit and tell me a little bit about what are some things you would say to a parent who's listening or a grandparent who's listening that is going through this ordeal and this trauma in their family.
Well, first of all, let me just say that it probably would be unbelievable to most people of how many parents will not believe their child. So first and foremost, let me start off with that. I always tell people this. I don't care how bizarre it is to you or sounds to you. I don't care if you adore the person that your child is saying has done this something to them. First and foremost, you believe that child. Mm-hmm. You believe them. Then you go from there. You report it. Mandated reporters, that's what we all are needing to be.
Yes.
And then let the system unfold. Too many do not even believe their child in the first place. For those who do believe, they still keep it quiet. So mm-hmm. first of all, we're not even getting to the point of parents like me who did believe their child mm-hmm. and who did try to do something. Just to get more parents to do that is a task. And that's why one of our primary focuses on the home is, and I tell parents, how dare we turn our backs on children? If we can't handle thinking about this and talking about it, what's the child supposed to do?
Uh-huh.
They didn't ask to be born. They surely didn't ask to be raped, molested, sexually exploited, because that's what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. You know, let's be blunt about it. They're being raped and molested and sexually exploited in many cases. If we can't help them or don't try to help them, then what is that child supposed to do?
Mm. All the more
encourage...
so. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm good. I just keep talking.
No, that's okay. That's okay. All the more so reason why speaking out against child sexual abuse and the Speak Out program is so very needed. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking about speaking out against child sexual abuse. Our guest today has been Mrs. Susan Sofol-Delani of Tennessee, and Milani Marquez of Hawaii. We want to thank you guys so much. Even from across the country, we're able to connect, and you guys are able to connect. Thank you so much for being a part of Reentry Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, to get in contact with Susan, you want to dial 865-230-8600. That's 865-230-8600. or you can go to their website at www.speakingout-csa.com, www.speakingout-csa.com. Thank you again, Susan and Milani, for being with us.